Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randolph's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
I think so how many times did you fire in that?
I don't know, as many as I could, just as many as I could.
And he turns around, and what happens?
Goes to the door, another shot worked as he was going out too. And I went right with him to see where he was going, and went out there, and then he...
Okay, when you say the door, are you talking about the door leading into the
right,
garage?
He was going for that, going out the garage.
Did you fire again in this hallway?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay. I believe so. I fired a lot, and then he came out and turned around again.
Okay, now, and is he in the garage now?
He's right at the door right there. I think he was trying to open the garage door.
Okay.
The big garage door opener.
What is the garage door opener?
Right as you come in the door. Just reach around and turn on the light. And
when he turned around and he faced you again, did you still have the gun?
Don't notice. I just kept shooting. That's just all there was to it. I shot. And then he fell down, and there was all kinds of shit there. There was a couple of bags. But I'm thinking he had those in the car, like a change of clothes, because he was going to his girlfriend's house or something. He had said, and I think he had... they were Walmart bags, and earlier he had had them, and I think they had them. I know those was there too, but I don't know if it's the same bags he had earlier. And there was a cloth bag that is my stuff. It's the bags of mine, or Sharon's, I don't know. And it had just gotten in shit in it, because the dispatcher told me to go get the gun, and make sure it was away from him. And while he was in here, I was sitting there, I was standing over him.
You're talking about in the garage?
Yeah, in the garage. And heard a noise. And I'd already turned around and go back to what Sharon started to. And I heard a noise, and I just assumed it was him. It was loud. And I turned around and shot it again once or twice. And he was laying there. He wasn't even going anywhere, and I shot him again. But it was the fire extinguisher had fallen off the refrigerator. And I just remember hearing the noise. And when I went out to look for the gun, when the dispatcher said, I told him what was wrong with my wife, and that there was a lot of blood and stuff, and she's hurt bad, and the guy in the garage, and they asked about that. And I told him, with my wife,
let me just back you up just a little bit, okay? You hear the noise in the garage, which ultimately you realize is the fire extinguisher.
I'm assuming that's what it was, yeah, because it was laying on the ground.
And you fired how many more times?
I think just once more, because once or twice, maybe.
Okay.
And I just more like, just heard that noise,
and
I'm imagining the TV thing, where the last time they get that last breath out, shoot you.
Did you take anything off of this guy while he's laying on the ground in the garage? Did you take the mask off?
No, the mask was laying by him. I went through the bag looking for the gun, because I didn't see the gun. As it turned out, he was, I guess it was up in his pants or underneath him anyway. He had fallen on it. And because whoever was on the phone told me don't get the gun and make sure it was away from him.
Let me just back you up here a little bit, okay? You hear the noise in the garage, which eventually you think is the fire extinguisher.
Yes.
You fire a couple more times.
I just fired once more.
What did you do after you fired a couple more times at him?
Went in and checked on Sharon. I slid the rug up under the door so the door would be open so I could see him, because I still was what was going on. I wasn't going to check on him. I wanted to check on Sharon.
So you go up and you check on Sharon.
I tried to roll her over. I tried to talk to her. I bent down. And that's when there was the bed was there because I bent down on it. It was laying somewhere in that vicinity. And
near Sharon.
Near Sharon, yeah. I was actually pretty close to her because my knee was on it. That's what my knee or my ankle or something touched on it. It was uncomfortable when I bent down. And when I looked over and I seen the gun, I thought, okay, I don't want to get shot by this either. And I don't remember.
Was the gun in the hallway or was it in the bathroom or the music room?
It was on this side. I don't think it was in the music room, but I think it was like just almost in the music room.
In the hallway.
Yeah, in the hallway.
Okay.
But I didn't see it. It was, I mean, I've just been there. It does not look good because I was looking first at the red stuff because I thought that was blood from the distance. And when I got out and could really see the blood, it was bad. And tried to talk to her, see if she'd respond. And I went and called, went and found the phone.
What did you do with the gun?
When I first picked it up, I was checking to see if it was cocked again. And I don't know why, but I seen a little thing on the side. And I was thinking, that'll make the clip fly. I know guns. But I pushed that, and thinking that was like a safety thing. And the cylinder started to roll. So I was supposed to back up and toss it over there. Just over in the room, away from me, further down, so that...
Into the music room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very far, but, you know, just out of the way.
Okay.
And went and found the phone. And, again, it was a little kind of spooky, you know, kind of...
Where was the phone?
The phone I got out of the living room, with the big screen TV. I think that's the phone I got.
Were there any other lights on in the house?
Yeah, we got lights that come on with timers and stuff, and I didn't notice. I was just hurrying. I didn't notice if there was any other lights that shouldn't have been on that was on. Or
did you notice whether the back door was open or closed?
I didn't even look. I grabbed the phone and called 911, and it didn't work. And I thought, oh, fuck, what a great time for Vonage to go out, because we'd had a lot of trouble with the phone. And called him again. Called two or three times, and the first time it didn't work. Second time, I think it was busy. And then I finally got a hold of somebody. They told me to settle down, and asked me what happened, and then they got confused, and then somebody else came on, and I think it was a paramedic, or something medical, and said we need to start rescue the CPR on your wife. And I told him that I didn't think she was alive. She was shot bad. And just coming from the blood, you could tell. And he says to start not the CPR, but just the chest thrust. And asked him what position she was in. I told him, I told him face down, but I knew you'd have to roll her over. And told me to roll her over, and I started to do this, and then I got nervous again about the rest of the house might be down there. And I didn't know Mike get him necessarily, just nervous that he was down there still. And I said, I'm kind of scared if the other guy gets up or something. And the guy says, go check him, go get the gun, go something. And told me to find the other gun and get away from him.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, the bags was kind of in the way there.
Where were the bags?
Right here and over on this side, maybe a little. The mask was right there, close to it too.
Okay, so we're talking about in the garage now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go into the garage, and where's this guy laying again?
Right about there.
Okay, and where he came, just outside the door that led into the house.
Yeah.
Okay, and where were the bags?
Where did she come in? There was one, I think both the plastic ones is here, and I threw one of them over here after I looked through it, or just, you know.
In the garage?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're indicating to the left and right of the door.
Right.
All right.
And then the mask was over here somewhere, and it was just laying right by him, like it fell off when he fell down or whatever.
And did you see his face then?
No, but I know it's not. I could see his face, but I can tell from his because his face is down.
Right.
But,
and where was the gun?
There was none.
Okay.
I looked in this bag, and I think it might have had jewelry in it or something. I don't know.
You indicated the one to the...
No, there was a black one now. A black...
Black bag.
Smith's or Walmart, where you buy them at disposal, or you keep them. I'm into bags. And there was a bag there, and I just looked through it real quick, and I didn't see anything, and that's when I noticed the fire extinguisher, and it was under the edge of my car, and I stepped over because I thought maybe the gun is what I heard, and I don't know what I thought. I just thought maybe the gun was over there, and I stepped over, and again, they were pinging my pants because the fucking light in the garage went off at that time, the timer light, and it was just dark in there, the door. And,
are you still on the phone with the 911 operator?
I laid the phone down.
Where?
Over by Sharon.
Okay.
And I stepped back over, and actually I kind of stepped hard back over because I didn't want to step on him or the bag. Kind of a stretch for me to hurt my bag back. Reached around, turned the light, but I think I flipped the light on the inside. There's a light. Anyway, I flipped one of the two lights back on the garage and kind of pushed him over. And I think I pushed him a little with my foot and kind of lifted him with my arm and kind of just went like that. And I could feel around there and I felt the gun down there and I picked it up.
Where was the gun?
Underneath. I don't know if it was in his pant legs. I mean, in his pant waist. I think he has a pocket there. Because it seems like when I reach it in there, my hand it went in a pocket.
Are you indicating the pocket, like in the front of the shirt?
Or maybe, you got the ones that go all the way through, like football players use.
Like a sweatshirt?
Yeah, a sweatshirt. You always wear a sweatshirt.
Okay.
But I don't know if it went all the way through or it was just a pocket. But I remember I kind of got my hand caught in there and didn't like the idea of my hand being held. And,
so you pulled the gun out.
Well, I didn't have the gun. It wasn't the pocket. When I pulled it back over, then I could see the edge of the gun, and I just pulled it up. I don't know if it was in his pants or what. I just grabbed the handle and pulled it up.
And which gun was that?
It's just a revolver again.
Did it have, a grip extension or something on it, a silver piece that attaches to the grip?
I didn't notice that. I just threw it in there. Now, we have a .22 that you're sort of describing like that.
When you took the gun away from him in the garage, where did you put the gun?
I threw it in the office, the first bedroom there.
Okay, so the first bedroom when you come through the
door. Yeah.
Just threw it in there, or where do you think you placed it somewhere in there?
No, I just kind of just chucked it kind of easy. I actually was aiming for the garbage can. So I don't know if I hit it or not. And then I locked the garage door.
Okay.
And went back and got on the phone. And the guy says, we've got to get to your wife now.
Okay.
And I says, I don't know if there's anybody else in the house. I haven't been through the rest of the house. He says, I just wanted to go lose your wife. You need to get on this right now. I says, okay. And Sharon says, babe. And I tried to roll her over. Tried to roll over. Couldn't do it. It was just out of breath. And I kept getting her so far up. And then I just couldn't hold her. So I told him, I tried this 4 or 5 times, and I told him I just can't do it. He says, you've got to do it, or she's going to die. So I finally said, okay, I'm going to try this again. It's killing my back. And I laid the phone down and pushed her arm, kind of like they teach you in CPR class. I pushed her arm kind of back underneath her, and it seems like I pulled one of her legs up a little bit toward me, that was toward me, and then lifted and pushed her over, and she was.
Did you do the chest compressions? And what was the next thing that happened?
I asked him if we, I told him I didn't think I could do the CPR because she's really hurt bad, bleeding bad, and stuff's hanging out and stuff. And he says, what do you mean? And I don't know if I told him the letter or what. so we just need to worry about the chest compressions for now. He told me between her breasts, but I'd already pulled up her shirt and found the thyroid and started doing them. I said, just keep doing them. And I did a few, and then I remembered you're supposed to count, so I started counting. I did 10, 15 or so, and then checked for a pulse, and there wasn't anything. And he says, keep doing them.
Where did you check for a pulse at?
Across her body on this side of her neck.
So you check your neck for a pulse?
Yeah. But here it goes on this side.
You're in her face on the left side?
Yeah. And she was laying face up the left side.
So what's the next thing that happened?
I started doing more. I said, I can't get a pulse. And he says, keep doing it, doesn't matter, keep doing the compressions. And I started doing them again. And then he said, the police or the paramedics or help us here, go open the front door.
Okay.
And it took a long time to open the front door. And that, I am thinking that when I opened it, you know, unlocked it, it didn't unlock. And I know that I flipped the emergency, the thing to make sure the kids aren't running out, the little alarm, and it always is on. And I swear that I undid it, and I undid the locks, and then when I opened the door and they wouldn't open, it was like I locked them and turned on the alarm instead of unlocking them, like they might have already been unlocked.
Okay.
And
what did you do with your gun?
Stuck it in my back pocket, or else in the back of my belt. I can't remember. It was somewhere back here. And when I opened the door, there was just cops everywhere telling me to put my hands up, lay down, come out, whatever. And I reached back in and flipped on the light so they could see better and came out. They took me away and I tried to tell them what was going on, but they just kept on going and they couldn't get in the house. They couldn't get in the house. And I told them how to open the garage. I told them I'd go in and open the garage, whatever they wanted to do, but it took me way down. It took them forever to go in there. I'll bet you it was 30 minutes before they got in the house.
And backing up just a little bit, when you were in the first bedroom there and you were struggling with the person that you say is Mike, what is the reason that you fired? What did you feel?
Well, I was scared to death. Obviously, my wife was down in his tools in my house, and he ain't supposed to be. And where did someone his head? That looked kind of funky. And
at that point, did you think he had a weapon?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then the reason why you continued to fire was?
I was making sure he wasn't going to shoot me.
Okay. And at some point, did you ever get a look at his face?
When I rolled him over, I could see it was his face. But
and is that the person you knew as Mike?
Yes. I seen the gun after we got a little bit of space. Matter of fact, he was going to shoot me. There was just no doubt in my mind he was going to shoot me. I could see the gun then, but when he was actually up, it was just too close. He came in and I was coming out. He's kind of trying to look around to see what I got in my hand. Because he's kind of down, I think maybe it's when I bumped his head or bumped the wall or something. Because I got a little, you know, taste blood when you spit it, little thing.
Okay. Did you know that he was going to be coming over to your house tonight?
At 3:30.
No. When you left the house.
Oh, no.
He did not have permission to be in your house.
No. I thought he said he was going to his girlfriend's. Matter of fact, I know he said he was going to his girlfriend's because he said he was catching hell alone.
And as far as you knew, he had had a key at one point but gave that back to you.
Yes, he did. And I actually thought he didn't give it back to me, but when I called him because it was getting ready to leave, I said, hey, earlier, you gave me that key that you said you'd found outside. It's I'll lay it down, you know, I'll lay it down to get the garage. Sometimes it'll just fall out of the pocket. Sometimes Sharon leaves it in the door. So, I mean, the keys, there's keys everywhere there.
Was there a reason why you were concerned about him having that key?
Yeah, well, he was going to be gone for a week. I didn't want him in my house. Like, you know, he didn't have, Colleen comes over, she's pregnant, she checks the mail and stuff, and I have both neighbors watch the house.
Does your house have an alarm?
No.
Alright.
It has those door. Excuse me, it has those door things. I have a... an expensive alarm in my in Clearfield that I've been meaning to bring out here, my home in Utah, that I'm leasing, that it's all digital and plug it into the computer and it'll, you know, do the video streams, and you got 5,000 pictures of the guy before he ever gets up your driveway, and then it emails you, pages you, and calls the cops for you. But
between the time that you first encountered him in the house and the time that you started performing CPR on Sharon and the police arrived, did you touch anything else or move anything else inside the house other than the phone?
Touched the guns.
Okay.
Touched.
Did you open any drawers, close any drawers, move anything around in any of the bedrooms other than the guns and the phone?
To get the pistol, but that's in the bedroom. And it's just in a, there's a bunch of shoes there. There's one that there's a little bit of space, and I keep that and a clip right there together. See if the phone was in there, if Sharon's cell phone was in there, because she had it out just before that, because she spilled stuff out of her purse or something, or I don't know if it rang, what was going on, but
okay.
I just started to go out there, and I just ran back in and went to the other cell phone. I may have had the cell phone, and I was going, no, because I hadn't got it yet. No, I don't think I touched anything else.
And when you shot the suspect in the garage, where were you standing? Were you in the garage?
No, I think that's right where the light switch was. Well, yeah, I guess I had been in the garage because the garage light went out. No, I'm sorry, I was either just in the garage or just outside or just in the doorway still.
Okay.
But I did go out in the garage because I went over here looking for the gun.
Okay, so you moved around inside the garage?
Yeah, and that's what I said, and then the lights went off, and that just scared the shit out of me because I thought there was somebody else in it there at the house, and I turned the lights off so I couldn't see them, and then I really started to get freaked.
Okay. Take a party.
What was the lighting conditions inside the house when you first came in after your wife had already gone inside?
It's pretty clear. I mean, it's dark, but you can see, okay, there's one, I think it might be orange or reddish, you know, like a colored bulb, maybe 25 water that we leave on the night, so I can't sleep at night, just my back kills me, so I wander around the house.
But from the garage door inside the house, you could tell that was your wife that was down in the hallway?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And at the point you saw her down on the ground, you hadn't seen anybody else at that point?
No, other than it's just kind of like that. And I get those all the time anyway, because my doctor calls them floaties.
How long after that was the first time you saw Mike?
Just within 30 seconds. I said, Sharon. So, fuck it. just immediately went into the, I stepped up, maybe went two steps and just came back, and right there was that doorway. It was open, and just reached in and grabbed my gun. It was just right there inside the hallway.
How many guns do you have?
I had quite a few, but not that are accessible. They're hidden, you know, put away so don't get stolen. I change them around as we need them.
The gun that you used, do you recall what caliber or what gun that was?
It's a Makarov 9mm. It's not the standard 9. It's the main, the Russian 9.
Okay. And in that first room, as you come from the garage into the house, that first room on the left, I'll call it your office, not your music room, there's a larger revolver there. Do you recall that gun? Is that your gun?
There's
a revolver inside that first room.
There is? Are you asking?
I'll tell you. This is the hallway, this is the first room on the left, and this is the garage up here. As you come in from the garage, and you come into here, there's a desk here, and your computer's right there. Sitting on some clothes or something is a revolver right here. Do you know anything about
that? Was it on the desk? I threw it over there. I threw that over there. That's the gun I took off him. But I was aiming for the garbage can, which sits right.
Okay.
So I don't know if I missed it hit the clothes or missed it hit the desk or what.
Okay. And then in the music room, there's another revolver.
That's the one that was right by Sharon. And when I went down on my knees, I could feel it. And that's the one I picked up. And I got a little 22 mag. And when you put it on safety, you turn the cylinder just a touch. And there's a little groove. There's a groove that cocks it when you turn it, but there's a little groove that if you turn it, that put it on safety. And I when I got the gun, I pushed a little thingy on the side, and I swear when I did, I was expecting the clip to fall out, because I don't do revolvers. And instead, the cylinders, what they call them, the cylinder, I could tell it was starting to come out, so I just pushed it back up. But I originally was going to just put it on safety and move it over there. But I just threw it over there. I didn't throw it. It couldn't be more than a couple of feet from the door. But I just kind of turned around and laid it there.
Okay. The one that you took off of him, do you recognize that as one of your guns?
I didn't know, but if you're saying there's a trigger, you said a...
If you look at the grip on the gun, it looks like this, right? On the guns right here, there's I think they call them grip extensions, and it looks something like that, and it's silver.
Is it metal?
Yes.
Okay, that's probably our 22. Probably Sharon's 22. I didn't notice that, but no. There's a gun like it's really heavy. Heavy is as heavy as a 38 if it's the one that we're talking about. But it's not rubber or anything. It's not like one of those packfire grips.
Right. This is a metal insert that goes.
Yeah, she said her uncle had funny hands or something, and he had that put on there because he couldn't hold it or something. I guess that's where she got it, was her uncle.
Okay, and then the gun that's in the music room, that, do you recognize that to be one of your guns?
I didn't look at
the one that, and that's the one that was near Sharon?
Yeah.
Okay. All the guns that you have, any of them registered?
I don't know if hers are or not. I assume, she had a little blue card I found once.
Okay.
That was there.
What about your Makarov? Is that registered?
No, just brought it back from Utah.
Okay.
And what do you mean registered? I got a concealed weapons permit.
Locally, you do?
From Utah.
Okay.
And in November, they said they were reciprocal, so you didn't have to go through the gun permit thing no more.
Okay, but with Metro, did you have any of these guns registered where you would have had to take them down to a substation? They would have given you a blue card.
No, that's what I thought the gun permit thing was.
Okay.
I have the forms. I paid the money, got it filled out, got all the guns listed on the form, and even called and they told me to come early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then the lady said something that she didn't need to do that they had change the law or is it going to change the law? So I looked it up on the internet, and it said in October or November, the legislature had changed the law and it was reciprocal with Utah.
Okay.
So I have a Utah gun permit, so I didn't need to anymore.
Okay. How close were you to Mike when he fired?
I don't know that he fired.
Not when you fired.
Maybe you, probably either one of you.
And
just as soon as I could get enough distance to he was right up in my face, like he was reaching for the. I thought he was trying to get my gun, but it was.
So you're indicating about 3 feet.
Yeah, if even that. But we was close. I could hit him just as easy, but I don't fight. I got this bad back neck thing, and I swing at you, and I might just be standing there still swinging at you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And this was in the house still?
Yeah,
right
around that bedroom door.
Did you fire any shots in the garage?
Yeah, no.
And has Mike ever been to your house by himself?
I think once. You mean where we knew he was there and left him alone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I left him alone, like to run down to the store or something. He's working in the yard or something.
Has there ever been a time that you told Mike, go to my house, I'll meet you there? Or has there ever been a time that you've shown up at home and Mike's been there and you weren't aware of it, that he was there?
Both situations.
Okay.
Once we was going to do some plant or something, and I called and he said he was on his way. He was there closer than I was, so
okay.
I told him just to go around and sit on. He parks his bike in the back by the side gate. We don't have a lock on. Most of the kids are there. And he puts his bike there off the street so nobody will steal it and our trip over to sue us. And another time, and I told him then just to go in and sit in the back and I'd be there in a minute. It was just a matter of minutes. And then another time, I can't remember if he was on the front porch or the back porch. But me and Sharon was both there. And when we pulled up, he was there. And didn't think much of it. He just said he was coming over.
But he wasn't inside your house.
He was outside. Yeah, he wasn't in the house. No. He was outside both times. And when we got a swing outside. I don't think it's under the deck, under the porch now. I think it's moved. But it used to be under the porch, and I've been working on that. So, but that's where I told him just go sit on the.
Okay.
Turn off, be there in a minute and do what we gotta do.
Did you ever hear the shots before you went inside the house? Did you ever hear any shots?
I didn't hear anything, but I'm really deaf.
Okay. What was the first thing you thought when you saw Sharon laying down?
I thought she'd fallen.
Okay. When did you realize that there might be somebody in the house?
Well, I'm the paranoid sort, and when that little floaty or whatever, that just kind of, you know, it's like, did I see something, or is it one of these Stephen King things you dreamed about last night? But I started to go up really quick, and I said, Sharon. And then she didn't move or anything, so I thought, okay, something ain't right here. And that's when I went in the room and just got the gun, because I've been paranoid about these Mexicans, and Mike has really fed off that paranoia with them. Like, if I go down and get some to move things around, I'll have him help too. But Sharon used to go get them, and we'd get 2 or 3 out there working and couldn't understand them, so our new role was to get at least one that speaks English, so we kind of can communicate. Also, it was like sometimes we'd have a waste of time, we'd tell them to move everything, and then it was just the opposite. And unless you're up there, you know, doing it yourself with them, you don't know. But there at the last, I had Mike, and then hired just like one Mexican or two instead of hiring 2 or 3, and he kind of kept them going. But
okay.
He told, and there's been one Mexican that told me about another one. He says, hey, watch that guy, he's going to steal from you, or he's going to steal. But he said it in broken English. not to move, not about Mike, but about another Mexican.
Right.
And then Mike had told me that he had came out and seen some of the Mexicans looking through the boxes rather than putting them up in the attic and said something to them.
When you called 911, you mentioned that this guy Mike has been ripping you off. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? He's been stealing from you or ripping you off, I think, were the words you used.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
Don't remember saying.
Do you suspect Mike of ever taking anything from you that you just could never prove?
Money, just little bits of money, but I just gave it to him, so I didn't think much about it. The key, that's about it, the key. If I said, then rip me off, probably what I said was he's ripped me off, or he's ripping me off, like the act right then.
Okay. In your kitchen, there's a freestanding, like a butcher block, type cart, I believe.
Okay.
And I think it might have even had like a red cell phone sitting on top of it. But there's a steak knife sitting on top of this butcher block cart. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's freestanding.
We don't have a red cell phone.
Okay. And I don't know if that's was sitting on that cart. But on this cart is a steak knife sitting out.
Should have been. We were careful about the knives because Thomas, our 2-year-old, is that's why the guns that went up higher.
Mm-hmm.
He crawls and climbs and he lets. Matter of fact, he can open almost all the doors. Like my drum room, I keep them locked.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made the mistake of letting him play the drums. So it's play drums, and he screams and yells. He's pretty good. Actually, he can beat for two.
Mm-hmm.
But, I lock it when he's there just to make sure, because also my medicine and my when I take, come home, I take off my gun and just lay it there,
mm-hmm.
whatever gun I'm wearing that day.
Did you have any phone conversation with Mike today?
Oh, I talked to him 2 or 3 times today.
From your cell phone to his cell phone?
From his home, I don't think he has a cell phone.
I mean, his home number?
Yeah, and I've called his house several times today, or he's called me.
And would that have been from your home phone number or from
cell phone? Both cell phone or probably the house phone, either one. He was going to help me finish put up the trim. We're going to go get my dad. I said my dad had a stroke and my mom had this gallbladder that ruptured or whatever down there killed her, and he had to do an emergency real quick while my dad was. It was really weird. She got his room as they was moving him to the nursing home. So he couldn't do their rehab program, not strong enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
But told him we had to get that done today. It was the last day it was going to have a chance to finish. I wanted to put the trim around the awning, so that the water and stuff couldn't get to it. It looked a little bit better for the kids, but we went and bought some trim.
That was today?
No, last time I was with him, we went and bought some trim. I think he was with me, maybe that's by myself, I don't know. That's what we do, is just kind of ride around and talk. And
when he calls your number, is there a name that pops up on the caller ID?
I don't think so, it's just his number. But I mean, I know this number because I got it on my phones. But I don't think it says a number of a name or anything.
Okay. And did Mike know you guys were going to dinner tonight?
Yeah.
He knew what your plans were.
Well, yeah, he came over and shared with us, you know, told us we need to hurry and don't be fucking around too long and just, you know, go look at him, come home and do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
But it was just bloody, kind of. But we was gonna do the, earlier in the day, we was gonna do the trim and finish plant. I think Sherry wanted something else moved. And I slept last night. I fell asleep during the ball game with the kids there and everything. And my sleep was precious to me because sometimes I don't sleep for days.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep. And well, coming home from Utah, I couldn't drive. I started driving just nodding off. And Sharon drove, which is bad because she's got bad eyes. But she drove other than twice for maybe 20, 30 minutes. She drove the whole way, but I just kept nodding off and couldn't stay awake for whatever reason. And I think it's probably all the stress, you know, then from my dad and my mom and stuff. But got home and didn't sleep that night, but then the next, or I don't think I slept the night, next night, but then last night, like I said, just, and today I was so tired and I slept so good. And he called and said, you're going to start work. I think I called him first and said, don't bother coming at such and such time because she's going to cut this lady's hair she forgot about. So she cut the hair, and then I don't know if he called me back or whatever. I said, I'll just make it later because I'm going to sleep for a while. So,
is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think is important to what happened at your place today?
I mean, it sure took a long time for them to get in the house. I don't understand that. But I guess that's how the police do it. I just... So like hours before he was ever in there to do first aid or anything. Mm. I don't think it matters. I think she was probably dead then. But
is there anything else with Mike? Is there anything else that clicks in your head that says, yeah, you know what, this makes sense because of this?
Sharon's been saying he's been giving her really weird vibes. And a couple of times she said, don't invite him over. In case he goes to dinner or something. And when last week, or a couple of weeks ago, before we left with my parents, we said he was going out like on a date to the Cabo, and he wanted to borrow some money. I think I maybe gave him $20 or something. And that's pretty clear. It's a date. We're leaving now. And he left a few minutes before we did. And it hadn't been 15, 20 minutes, and he showed up at the Cabo. Right next to him, sat down, and Sharon was there by the same, I guess. And, you know, I told him I couldn't loan you no more money and told him to, he had to leave, you know, quietly. Because last night I told you he, I did say bye to him, he's pissed off at him. So I called him later and asked him why he acted like that. And he said, no, I said bye. You had your face buried in that taco or whatever he was eating. And he probably was right, I did. Plus, I didn't hear him. But Sharon said he said bye to me and came over and told her bye, so, but she just said she, and I think it's just because he's been coming over so much, and we don't like the popping in, and usually when he comes in, he wants to either borrow a few bucks or work and get paid off, because, you know, I give him the same thing I do the Mexicans when they work, so, maybe a little more, but he's thrown me to the doctor once when I had a couple times in the city.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Anything else?
No.
Would there be any reason why somebody would say that you may have had a part in your wife's death? So, is there anything other than friendship or business relationship between you and Mike, or Mike and your wife? Any kind of a romantic relationship? Anything else?
No.
Okay. Anything else you think to add to your statement? Thank you, Mike. Alright, now the completed interview time now is 0147, same location, same people.
You
want
to leave? Yes. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've all been sitting here for an extended period of time. I think this is a good point where we will take our night recess. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or public means of communication or social media. You must not rewatch this being news or media accounts or commentary about the case. You must not do any research, such as consulting dictionary, viewing the internet, or using records of affairs. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. You must not form or express any opinion regarding this case or the findings given to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be in recess until tomorrow morning at 10:30.
All rise for the jury.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, The Trial of Thomas Randolph, next.